Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, a Tuesday morning, to recap the 31st ever sports equinox in this planet Earth's history that featured a Monday night football game to end out week number 8 in the Steel City. Pittsburgh in prime time once again. Second start as a Steeler for Russell Wilson. We'll break down Monday Night Football and another Steelers win in just a moment. It also featured game number 3 of the World Series. A change of venue to New York we go. Would the results be different? Would the Yankees eke out their first win of the Fall Classic? Or would the Dodgers take a commanding 3-0 series lead? We found out last night. Action in the NBA. Action on the ice. We're less than a week away from the college basketball season tipping off as well. Joe, so much to get to here in these 3 hours.
And we welcome back college football tonight, Ben. So we lose the NFL, we gain college football, and we got a another loaded slate to go over here today.
Yes, we certainly do. Some Sunbelt, Fun Belt action on a Tuesday to add into the fold. But we start with game number 3 last night in the Bronx. The Yankees sent out Clark Schmidt. The Dodgers sent out Walker Buehler. New York booked as a home money line favorite for the first time in this series, trying to win their first game of the Fall Classic. And the guy who was going to win World Series MVP had other ideas from the very start. Freddie Freeman, top of the first, a 2-run home run, and frankly, the Dodgers never looked back. Mookie Betts and Kike Hernandez add on a couple of ribbies late in the game. Clark Schmidt was off, walking a ton of batters, and the Dodgers take advantage. And Walker Buehler has been nails on the other side. Los Angeles, Joe, has opened up a commanding 3-0 series advantage, one win away from a World Series championship with a 4-2 victory in game number 3 last night inside Yankee Stadium.
It felt like it was kind of over before it even started last night, Ben, didn't it? And you kind of felt that way the minute that Freeman hit that home run, and you're going, why are you throwing him a fastball on the inside corner again? Why? Yeah. Why are we doing this? And, that was pretty much all they needed at that point, because the two empty netters at the end of the game really didn't matter much. The Dodgers were never in jeopardy of losing that game.
Yeah, that is true. Alex Verdugo did hit a 2-run shot for the pinstripes in the home half of the ninth. A little bit of life, but there were already 2 outs. The final out was recorded just a batter later. So the Yankees in an 0-3 hole. The only time we've ever seen a team in an 0-3 hole in the World Series even extend to a game number 5 was 1970. The Yankees are in a very difficult spot. Make the Dodgers sweep on this Tuesday night in the Bronx. We'll break it down in just a little bit, but it feels as though, Joe, the World Series is effectively already over. Now let's go to Monday Night Football to end out week number 8 of this NFL season. Another New York area team on the road in Pittsburgh trying to look for an unlikely win. Did not happen. The Steelers win 26-18 at home in Russ's second game as a Steeler. They're a perfect 2-0. The Steelers cover as a 5.5-point home favorite. Low total on a Monday, 36.5. It does sky over. Joe, what was standing out to you more on Monday night? The Steelers looking really optimistic with Russ as their starting quarterback, or just how bad the G-men might be this year?
I don't know, Ben. This game was disgusting on so many levels early and often. I mean, keeping in mind, we had penalties, flags all over the place again on a Monday Night Football game. Congratulations, Russ, but you ain't finishing drives against the Giants inside the 20. Yeah. What's going to happen when you play a real team? I'm still a little concerned about this 6-2 Steelers team.
All field goals in the opening half. We were tied at 9 at the break. It felt like Big Ten football on the banks of the Three Rivers. But the Steelers do win. Najee Harris, his third consecutive game over the century mark in Pittsburgh, is 6-2 in that top spot in the AFC North. We'll look at the outlook of both of these clubs in just a little bit. NFL news around the league now, Joe. Of course, when one week comes to a close, we already get you ready for the next. Week number 9 on the horizon, the exact middle point of this NFL season. Jordan Love exited early in the second half, and the Packers win in Jacksonville on Sunday afternoon. A re-aggravated groin injury. Matt LaFleur telling reporters yesterday it is not major. His status still up in the air for a huge game Sunday against the Lions, but he has not been ruled out.
Yeah, concerning though, because anybody who watched him in that game, he was hurting. I mean, he was limping all over the place. He was trying to gut it out, but that's not great news going up against the Lions in your division in a huge spot. I'd much rather have Jordan Love than Malik Willis, but beggars can't be choosers if you're the Packers.
But Malik Willis has come into 3 games now for the Packers, including 2 starts where he's played more than 2 possessions and has looked darn good, throwing a touchdown pass in all 3. The Packers did end up with a win in all 3. Green Bay currently 3.5-point underdog against perhaps the best team right now in the NFL. That's Detroit on Sunday in Lambeau. For the Indianapolis Colts, interesting quarterback situation. Anthony Richardson has looked off. Then checked himself out of the game on Sunday because he was tired. Shane Steichen telling the media yesterday he is not sure who is starting for Indy at that quarterback spot on Sunday. Might it be AR or perhaps the veteran in Joe Flacco?
It has to be Joe Flacco. You cannot. And the worst part, Ben, is he went to the podium and admitted, I was exhausted, man. I had to check myself out. What do you think the offensive linemen do on a day in a game by game situation? What if they check themselves out instead of protecting? You have to sit in for no other reason because that locker room has got to be scratching their head right now.
Listen, we appreciate the transparency from our athletes, AR, in his de facto rookie season. After only playing 4 games last year for Indianapolis, he is playing like a rookie. He is speaking like a rookie. AR, you could have lied. You've been dealing with injuries. Just tell people you were a little bit banged up for a play or 2. Indianapolis, a road underdog of 5.5 points for Sunday Night Football in the Twin Cities against the Vikings in week number 9. NBA action. 11 games on the hardwood last night. The Lakers entered perfect. The Suns entered with only 1 loss to these Lakers. The Suns returned the favor at home, 109-105. Really, Joe, a tale of 4 quarters. The Lakers won the first and the third by 9 points exactly. The Suns won the second and the fourth by 11 points exactly. Phoenix trailed by as many as 18 to pull off the rally in the Valley.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers took a 83-76 lead into the fourth and then gave it up as Durant and Booker just double-teamed them, and then that was the end of that, though. But the good news is nobody got hurt in this game, because that entire game was filled with a whole lot of stars that generally don't play a whole lot of games back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Usually there's an injury. No injury last night. That's good news.
Total was 228, stayed under. Spread was 4 in favor of the Suns. It does push. So now there's only 3 remaining undefeated teams: the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and, of course, the reigning champs in the Boston Celtics, Joe. They dispatched the Milwaukee Bucks last night. 8 threes off the bench for one Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah, no, and really, Ben, this was a very close game in the first half, and then the Celtics kicked it into another gear in the second half, and that was all she wrote.
119-108, the Seas do cover as a 9.5-point favorite. Career night for Paolo Banchero, the rookie of the year now 2 years ago, emerging into a bona fide superstar for Orlando. 50 points last night, 37 in the opening half, in a magic win. Plenty more now around Monday Night Football. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Prime time in Pittsburgh for a second consecutive week in a marquee matchup against a team that hails from the New York City area but plays their football in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And for a second consecutive week, the Steelers win and cover at home for a second consecutive start for Russell Wilson. 26-18, the victory for Pittsburgh, who now improves to 6-2, sitting atop the AFC North. They cover as a 5.5-6-point favorite at home, Joe, against the New York Giants. Pittsburgh has covered in all 6 victories this year. The Giants have been an underdog now in 23 consecutive games, dating back to week number 3 of a season ago. 11-1 against the number. Pretty average. And that's what we saw last night in the Steel City.
It was a frustrating game. It had to be extremely frustrating in the second half for underbettors, because that look, it was field goal USA in the first half, Ben. And you're like, wow, this thing is not going to make it to 38 points here. I think the total closed at 37.5. And then all of a sudden, Tracy's ripping off 45-yard touchdown runs. We've got touchdowns are getting called off the board. We're like, what is going? And then all of a sudden, a special team. Yeah. So you had a little bit of everything last night, but good win by Pittsburgh, because these are the kinds of games in Tomlin's career that usually they struggle with. They kind of play down to the level of competition, but they got the win. But still a lot of head scratching and concerning parts of this Steelers team. You can only win the games on a schedule, but at 6-2, I'm not exactly penciling them into the AFC championship just yet.
And frankly, Joe, that's kind of been the story in the Steel City under Mike Tomlin the last decade, right? We know the success now in year number 18 under Tomlin. Never less than 8 wins in a regular season, never a losing record in the regular season. Playoff teams a couple of times in the last few seasons with an aging Ben Roethlisberger and a great defense, or Mason Rudolph and a good defense a season ago. And yet the ceiling has been capped. The Steelers last played in an AFC championship game back in 2016. This year, though, Pittsburgh is off to a 6-2 start. As we have said, they have covered in all 6 victories, twice outright as an underdog, now both 4-2 straight up and against the number as the favored side. Since the end of the Big Ben era, which started in 2022, the Steelers have only been booked as an underdog 19 total times in the now last 2.5 years. They are 12-7 against the number. And the Steelers now have gone over in 4 of their last 5 games. But Joe, if you are concerned, despite some of the numbers that we'll show you here, Russell Wilson at least 260 in each of his 2 starts, 278 last night and a touchdown, was sacked and fumbled the football late in the fourth quarter. Najee Harris for a 3rd consecutive game over the century mark. George Pickens looks like a bona fide wide receiver 1 with Russell Wilson Watson as his starting quarterback, got 2 feet down, just turned out to be the same right foot, which everybody found out last night does not count as 2 feet. You need both, that's left and right foot, to constitute a touchdown catch. And Calvin Austin provided a spark, a receiving score, and a punt return touchdown in that third quarter as well. But Joe, they scored 26 points. One was a punt return touchdown. Wasn't a ton offensively. Najee Harris over the century mark did not hit Pater. The first five possessions of the game, Steelers field goal, Giants field goal, Steelers field goal, Giants field goal, Steelers field goal. And the New York Giants ended the opening half with three more points as well. Joe, to your point, Pittsburgh unable to finish a few times last night. Drives that should have been six and then seven ended up in only 3 points.
0 for 4 in the red zone last night. And if you recall, Ben, and this is one of the things that would concern me with Russell Wilson, is he had this problem in Denver, too. One of the worst red zone offenses that we've seen when he was there. And that seems to have kind of morphed itself over to here as well. So not great. The red zone was probably the area of struggling for the Pittsburgh Steelers that would concern me the most. Everything else, yeah, pretty much what we expected from the Steelers last night against, let's face it, I mean, this is a, how long does Dable have a job? Is it even Dable's fault, to be completely honest with you?
So that's the question, Joe. That really is. That will be the outlook for the New York Giants. We are not going to predict if the G-men can rally to earn a playoff spot. Not going to happen. They are 2-6. Maybe we'll talk about Daniel Jones's status as the quarterback. Of course, all of the money tied up in his contract extension that he received prior to last year is pretty much done at the end of the 2024 season. I think the question for the Giants is beyond. Who is there as the general manager? Is it still Joe Shane? Is the head coach Brian Daboll? They didn't draft Daniel Jones, but they did kind of hitch their wagon to them. On the other side, Joe, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, it is that outlook this season as a 6-2 football team. Sure, they can be a playoff team. Heck, they might even win a competitive AFC North that is not as competitive, perhaps, as we once believed it to be. But can they even get close to flirting with that 14-1 price to win an AFC championship? I would say that is the question in the Steel City. Success, a ton of wins, but what is the ceiling in 2024 for Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Listen, could not have been a better start to the year for them. I still hate them for losing to Dallas, but on a Sunday night, but that's a whole different story. But listen, you win the games on the schedule, you put yourself in first place, and I don't know, a lot of people have thought Pittsburgh would be 6-2 at this point in the season. But again, still some concerns with this team that I got to see more from Russell Wilson before I become a believer here.
And you know, Joe, the Pittsburgh Steelers, based on projected win totals, travel, rest advantages, all that stuff, had the second hardest schedule entering this season in the National Football League. Their first eight games have not been a slouch by any means. They have a bye in week number 9 and then a visit to Washington, followed by a home game against Baltimore. We'll see about Cleveland and Cincinnati by the time we reach deeper in November and December, but that's what lays ahead for the Steelers before they finish with road trips to Philly, Baltimore, and then host KC and Cincinnati. We'll talk more about the Steelers' outlook and what's next for the Giants next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So week number 8 around the National Football League officially in the books after last night, a Monday in Pittsburgh. The Steelers win 26-18 over the New York Giants. The Steelers cover as a 6-point home favorite. Joe, let's start with Pittsburgh, a 6-2 football team that sits atop the AFC North. A full game advantage over the Baltimore Ravens at this point after the flock gets upset by the Cleveland Browns. The Browns, though, only have 2 wins. The Bengals are 3-5 after a winless 0-3 start. Joe, we expected the AFC North once again to be the best division in football. Nobody, even the Bengals without Joe Burrow for a majority of the season, had a losing record a year ago. It has not been overly exceptional, but still pretty solid division as you look at it, and Pittsburgh sits atop. A minus 300 playoff price for the Steelers. You see the odds there to win the AFC North. The Steelers are still not the favorites. It's even the Ravens with a hefty minus money price at minus 185. Let's start with the divisional race, Joe. Can the Steelers hold on by the end of this year to upend the flock in the AFC North?
Yeah, well, you mentioned it with the schedule thus far. They've done pretty good through a lot of situations in which you would think, well, the Steelers are going to be up against it. But they've handled their business, yeah. And they've done it, Ben, while also going through two quarterbacks, basically holding a season-long tryout for two guys. And now Russell Wilson's in there, seems to be... if nothing else, it has balanced the offense out with Russell Wilson. They're running the ball better. The offensive line is playing. They can hit the deep ball. So there is nothing about this team in the AFC North where you look at them and go, oh, there's no way they can't win this division. Of course they can win this division. They're in first place because look at who they're competing against. Cleveland and Cincinnati are going the wrong way. Yeah. It's ultimately going to come down to good old Pittsburgh and Baltimore again, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. And Joe, hand up. I actually thought the rushing attack with Najee Harris would take a step back without the athletic Justin Fields. It has been just as good. Three consecutive games for Harris over the century mark so far this season. So the Steelers have a bye week this upcoming weekend. Then week number 10, a road trip outside the nation's capital against a really good Commanders team who was also 6-2. And Joe, when you look at Pittsburgh's schedule and you see the price in the AFC North, you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's not fair. Even if the Baltimore Ravens are the better team, the odds should be tighter than that distinction in the gap between the two. The Steelers, week number 11, take on the Ravens for the first time at home. That is their first AFC North game of the year. The Steelers end with all of their divisional games in their final eight. And the two non-division games are a road trip to Philadelphia and a Christmas game against Kansas City. Not exactly an easy slate by any means for the Steelers the rest of the way. Quickly, Joe, you've mentioned some of the issues plaguing this Pittsburgh team in terms of its overall outlook. And that has been the story in the Steel City. Despite wins and success under Mike Tomlin, it's almost more infuriating because you're good, but you're never great. Pittsburgh has not played in the AFC Championship since 2016. Could this team at least flirt with a conference title game berth?
Well, again, you keep winning games and give yourself an opportunity at home field advantage, then, you know, we all know what happens once the weather turns, Ben. Pittsburgh's always been built to win in December and January, right? When the weather gets real bad, this is a team where it's not like Miami last year going to Kansas City. That would not affect Pittsburgh because they're built to win games like that in January. They could very well be a dangerous team if they can keep this up and get themselves in there.
We'll have more on the Steelers later, but that 14-1 price to win the AFC, fifth best, but $8 behind the fourth best number, that's the Houston Texans. Joe, to the Giants, it's not a conversation of, oh, can they rally to get to 500 or maybe pull off the improbable and earn a postseason berth. It's a question of what is next, the future. Are Joe Shane and Brian Daboll back as the GM and the head coach? What is the future of Daniel Jones beyond this season in New York? To all of those questions, Joe, what do you say?
Yeah, that's going to be a struggle to get over 5.5, man. Let's be realistic here. This is not a – every time this team offensively takes a step forward, they take two steps back. And it's just a very undisciplined football team that shows flashes but no consistency, and that's not a team I ever want to look at. Oh, they're going to turn it around. They're not going to turn it around.
No, I don't believe so. I don't know if it's the final year for Shane and Daboll. They might get the benefit of the doubt. I believe this is Daniel Jones' final year in New York. The Giants will look to a quarterback of the future in the 2025 NFL Draft. World Series Game 3 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number 3 of the World Series last night up in the Bronx. For the first time in the Fall Classic, we changed venues. Would it lead to the first win for the Pinstripes in this World Series, now back in the friendly confines of Yankee Stadium? The answer, no. Freddie Freeman continues his hot streak with the Dodgers in World Series action. In World Series action, just in general, and the Dodgers have taken a commanding 3-0 series lead, one win away from world championship number 8 in the history of this Dodgers franchise. 4-2, the final once again, like it was in game number 2, now in game 3. The difference this time, Joe, the Dodgers were a road underdog in the Bronx and not a home favorite in Los Angeles. There you see Giancarlo Stanton being gunned out at home. The wheels were not exactly in turbo last night as Stanton was rounding bases. The Dodgers had opportunities. We saw Will Smith, or Gavin Lux rather, get thrown out at home. There were some more opportunities on both sides to add up some offense. Total of 8.5 stays under. But the difference, Joe, in this game, Walker Buehler lights out once again for LA. And Freddie Freeman, who has hit a home run in these 3 games in the World Series, 5 straight World Series games in his career, dating back to his time in Atlanta. Freddie Freeman has the Dodgers one win away from a World Series title after a 4-2 win in game number 3.
Well, yeah, and I mean, listen, it's the problem is the 7 of the 9 Yankee hitters have disappeared. Outside of Giancarlo Stanton and Soto, everyone else is hitting about .130 collectively here for the New York Yankees. And they did have some chances against Buehler last night. They did get his every count was 3-2, 3-1. I mean, they certainly made him work, but they could not extend any innings. Far too many strikeouts, not enough balls in play. But and give the Dodgers credit because, listen, Hernandez had the ball in his glove before Stanton reached third base. So I know everyone's yelling and screaming, but what did you have? You had 7, 8, 9 coming up after that. You had, I mean, exactly what was that? Murderer's Row that you thought they were with 2 outs? If you hold Stanton there, it had to be a perfect throw. It was a perfect throw. And that's the difference so far in this series. The Dodgers are doing the little things, moving guys over, taking extra bases. Defensively, they're getting it done. The Yankees aren't. Hitting aside and Judge aside, they're not doing all the other little things well enough to be able to keep them in this series. And I don't think that's going to change in game 4.
And Joe, that was the handicap entering this set. The Yankees had the pitching advantage, at least based on name and appeal. Mm-hmm. The superstars were a pretty even wash on either side. But there was no doubt about it, certainly in the postseason, the Dodgers had a ton of depth that the Yankees could not handle. And we have seen that continue here with New York. It was mostly Giancarlo Stanton and Juan Soto providing the offensive spark for the Pinstripes in their opening 2 sets against the Royals and the Guardians. Aaron Judge has been a ghost. We'll talk about him in just a moment. Tommy Edman won NLCS MVP with 11 RBIs and a .407 average, if you need to learn anything more about the depth for the Dodgers. But I will say this about Walker Buehler. And what a path it has been back for Buehler, who in 2021 was the bright spot for this Dodgers staff. He was going to take the mantle from Clayton Kershaw the past decade and be that next bona fide starting superstar for L.A. 2 Tommy John surgeries sidelined him on the shelf for nearly 2 years. Made his return this year, and it was not great. A 1-6 record in the regular season, a 5.38 ERA. He then starts game number 3 of the NLDS against San Diego and gets shelled. He allowed 6 earned runs, all in the second inning. I don't know what the conversation was, Joe, in the bullpen or perhaps in the dugout between Dave Roberts and his starter and the rest of his staff there against San Diego. But he allowed Walker Buehler to go back into the game. Maybe he just said, hey, we can't be burning our high leverage guys in inning three against the Padres. Buehler, after giving up six earned in the second against San Diego in the NLDS, three straight innings of shutout baseball, the third, fourth, and fifth. Then he pitches game number four in the NLCS, or excuse me, game number three in the NLCS against the Mets. Four innings of work, three hits, zero earned runs, six strikeouts. And last night, as you will see as we continue to talk about these pitchers, Walker Buehler, five innings of work, shutout baseball, only allowing two base knocks and striking out five. So the Dodgers have kind of flipped that handicap on its head, Joe. They've had the pitching advantage, at least in games two and three.
Well, now you're right, Ben. We talked about it all week long leading up to it that the Yankees, I mean, the Dodgers have seven, count them, seven pitchers on the IL here, most of which they would have had the best starting four or five pitchers in Major League Baseball, except they're all on the IL. So what do they have left? Well, they've got a pretty good farm system and enough young arms that they trusted in order to step up, and that's exactly what they've done. So if you can't win Cole's game and Rodon doesn't show up, which he didn't, well, then you're, you know, the entire season was resting on a guy that hasn't pitched in, what, 11 days? And he looked like he hadn't pitched in 11 days, Ben and Clark Schmidt. So, you know, if you can't throw a first strike over to the Dodgers lineup, Buehler threw first strikes to everybody in the Yankees order. And, well, that's what happens. You walk four, you don't make it past the fourth inning, and voila, you're down three games to none in the World Series.
And the command was an issue for Clark Schmidt last night. Four walks, only allowed two hits, but three earned runs. And, of course, a Freddie Freeman bomb to start off the game in the Bronx. A two-run shot in the top of the first. Shohei Ohtani drew a walk in his opening plate appearance. Mookie Betts fly out, but then Freddie Freeman, who has hit a home run in all three games of this Fall Classic, stepped up and in once again. And the Dodgers did have some action in the third and the fourth on the base paths that Mark Leiter Jr. was able to get out of, and even Nestor Cortez was able to get out of. It was a respectable game. Alex Verdugo did hit a two-run home run in the ninth to make it look a little bit closer, but frankly, it's been all Dodgers after we got to the 10th inning on Friday night in game number one. So because of the historic Grand Slam, the first ever walk-off Grand Salami in the history of the World Series, another solo shot in game number two, and a two-run home run to open up the scoring last night in game three, Freddie Freeman, Joe, is going to win World Series MVP. He is now minus 1,900. I mean, listen, if history happens and we see a team, although we never have, in a World Series come back from an 0-3 deficit, then yeah, you'll maybe look at a Yankees number. But if the Dodgers win this one, even if it's not tonight, even if it's game five or game six, Freddie Freeman is winning World Series MVP.
Yeah, I mean, the odds are, well, the Yankees understand what's going on. Teams with a 3-0 lead in the best of seven playoff series, now 39 of the last 40 have won it. And that one series,
what's
of course,
the
was the Red Sox beating the Yankees in 2004. Nightmarish. Absolutely nightmare. So the Yankees were a part of that only one, but you know, now you're going to go to Louis Heel. It's kudos to Freddie Freeman. And by the way, you're losing to a Dodgers team. Again, seven pitchers on the IL that could start for any team in Major League Baseball. And oh, yeah,
sure,
Ohtani's got one arm. And you still, even Freeman's hobbled with the ankle, and you still can't beat him. So shows you the state of these two organizations.
So we'll talk about that next, right? Because with all the investments the Dodgers made in the offseason, this was the expectation, not even the hope, the expectation. Win a World Series. You have Ohtani. You acquire Yoshi Yamamoto. You added Tyler Glasnow, who was the ace, who is not even here. You are supposed to win a World Series, and the Dodgers are one win away from doing just that. We'll look at the odds and what game number four is telling us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. It is a Tuesday. It is the night of game number 4 in the Bronx of the 2024 World Series. Might it be over tonight? Will the Dodgers sweep the Yankees to win championship number 8? Might the Yanks prevail to force a game 5, something we have not seen as a team has been in an 0-3 hole in the Fall Classic since 1970. It shows you how demoralizing falling behind 3-0 can be by the time you reach the World Series. From the odds perspective, Joe, it's all but over. It's just a matter of time. It felt that way even entering game 3 in this trip to New York City. The Dodgers were minus 480 to win the series outright entering game number 3, despite being an underdog for that third game last night. The Dodgers now minus 2300. Let's take it a step further. For the Dodgers to win in 4 games, plus 110. It is the money line price, basically, for what we are seeing for game number 4 tonight. Although the money line itself is actually plus 120 with the updated odds. The Dodgers in 5, plus 240. The Dodgers to even head back to the ravine to win it in front of the home crowd in LA is 5-1. So, Joe, the World Series is effectively over. If it is not, hot take or cold take this clip out there. That would be great pub for this show and the Sports Grid Network. But it's effectively over, Joe. Just how many games, how much longer do we have here in the 2024 Fall Classic?
What time you got? Because we can actually break this down to hours. Yeah, I would say 10 hours, man. We can break this down to how much longer Major League Baseball will be a topic of conversation to the hour right now, because this is, and listen, it is a bullpen game for the Dodgers, but they've actually fared pretty well with bullpen games in the postseason. And again, you're going to send a rookie now, Louis Heal, to the mound in game 4 and rest your season on there. They can't bring Cole back. Did not want to bring Cole back on short rest in this spot. What does that tell you? So they're going to have to hope they can get to a game 5 at Yankee Stadium, where they're going to have to hope, the Gerrit Cole of old shows up again and they can actually get enough hits to win it in order to even send it back to L.A. So is it possible Dodgers in 6 at 5-1 is not a bad bet? Sure, if they win tonight, then I would bet the Yankees would call on the mound at home anyway. So why not? It may not be a bad path there to cover yourself.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. And I would say that your money line parlay of the Dodgers winning in 6, that number at 6-1 or 5-1, which is what it is right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, is much more appealing than the Dodgers at plus 120 and probably plus 148, plus 150 if Gerrit Cole were to get a start in game number 5, then they're minus money price back at home in game number 6, more than likely with Yoshi Yamamoto on the bump, who of course was incredible in game number 2. Great stat research out of our producer extraordinaire, Joe Friso. This will now be the 23rd best of 7 World Series with a team taking a 3-0 advantage. Here's how they ended. We have seen 19 sweeps in the previous 22. 3 have gotten to game 5. Never have we seen 2 more games, a 6th or never a 7th. There have been 9 straight sweeps after a 3-0 lead since the Reds won game number 4 of the 1970 World Series against the Orioles, but lost that set in only 5 games. So the Yankees are climbing a very uphill battle at this moment. So, Joe, we'll show you the odds for game number 4. Again, the Dodgers to win in 4 for a clean World Series sweep is plus 110. Plus 120, the actual money line updated price as of this moment. I would expect by the time we got a listed starter or opener tonight for Los Angeles, the FanDuel Sportsbook will correlate those two prices. More than likely, It is probably going to be Ryan Brazier, right? The guy we have seen open a couple of games for the Dodgers here. He did work an inning last night against the New York Yankees. On the other side, it's our guy, Luis, don't call him, Heel, getting the start for the Yanks. Minus 142, the Yankees are favored to at least extend the Fall Classic to a fifth game. The over-under is 8.5. But, Joe, you think it's just a matter of hours. Are you willing to bet the plus money price on the Dodgers to win game number four?
It's the only way to look at this point, because does it really matter who they throw? The Yankees, what now, hitting .120 outside of just don't pitch to Soto and Stanton and you win the game, Dodgers, by scoring two runs, because the numbers tell us the rest of this lineup is incapable of putting the ball in play. Far too many strikeouts, and correct me if I'm wrong, the last time we saw a bullpen game by the Dodgers, they were in the midst of shutting teams down for, 33 straight innings without giving up a run? So,
yeah,
you're up against it, Yanks, at plus money. Dodgers might not be a bad look here.
The Dodgers have used a bullpen game a few times here in this World Series, as they did in game number 6 against the Mets, clinched, as they did in game number 4 in the NLDS, with their season on the line to stave off San Diego, and they absolutely delivered. It's been one of the reasons the Dodgers' outlook to win a World Series entering the postseason took a shot, because they didn't really have that starting staff that was expected. Yamamoto was banged up. Buehler was a shadow of himself. Jack Flaherty up and down during his time in LA. Everybody has stepped up on the bump for Los Angeles. I do want to mention this, Joe, because it is, of course, a story of this World Series. Aaron Judge last night, 4 plate appearances, a fielder's choice, 0-for-3, or 5 plate appearances, rather, 0-for-3 with a fielder's choice, a walk, and a strikeout. Overall, in this World Series, Aaron Judge, who is going to win his second American League MVP award in the last 3 seasons, is 1-for-12 with 7 strikeouts. He has been awful. Joe, what will the sense be for Yankees fans at the end of this Fall Classic with this organization if it ends in embarrassment and a sweep?
Your legacy is built in October, Aaron. It's not built with what you do during the regular season. And unfortunately, he's living that nightmare right now, and I don't see it getting any better anytime soon.
6-for-43. All 2 of the home runs and all 6 of the RBIs that Judge has hit came in the first 3 games of the Guardian Series in the ALCS. NBA recap around the association next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
11 games in the NBA last night. Around the association we go. 1 week ago was the start of the 2024-25 NBA season. So let's look back on a Monday night. Joe, at the end of Monday night, 3 teams remain unblemished in the Western Conference. It's only 1 now. The Oklahoma City Thunder. Out east, there is 2. The Cavaliers, a victory last night. They improve to 4-0. And the reigning NBA champs look as good as advertised. The Boston Celtics are a perfect 4-0 this year, winning by 11 points last night in a competitive game to start, but not so much at the end against the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll get to that game in just a second. The reason there is only 1 Western Conference team that is undefeated: the Lakers entered last night a perfect 3-0, but the Phoenix Suns storm back from down 18 points to rally in the Valley. The Suns win by 4, 109-105. They were a 4-point home favorite. Total of 228 does stay under. The Lakers were not only perfect straight up last night, they had covered in all 3 games, including a dramatic 22-point comeback by LA over the Suns on Friday night. Phoenix returns the favor last night at home.
Yeah, he did. An interesting note in this game, too. LeBron, I think, finished with 11 points in the game, Ben. And that extends his record streak of having at least 10 points in a game to now 1,226. So he was even close to actually ending that streak of at least double digits scoring point-wise in close to, 1,230 games in a row. But ultimately, I think what we're seeing with this Lakers team is this transition from LeBron being everything to maybe it being Anthony Davis's team, which I don't have a problem with because I think that's where they have to start looking. But ultimately, I think the depth of the Lakers concerns me again. I think we saw it last night against the Phoenix Suns. And Phoenix went healthy, and that's been Phoenix's problem, right? Can they stay healthy and get Booker and Durant and everyone else on the court at the same time? Can they stay healthy? Because when they can, this looks like a much better and fluid Suns team than we have seen over the last couple of seasons, mostly because the only guy, believe it or not, that's been healthy enough and consistent is Durant of all people on this team. And boy, they needed him and Booker last night in a big way in the fourth, and they got him.
30 points, eight boards, and four blocks last night for KD. Devin Booker, the game's leading scorer, with 33 points. Bradley Beal did pour in 15. But again, Joe, there's a lot of KD and D-Book and trying to figure out those other pieces for Phoenix. Tyus Jones is there trying to facilitate and orchestrate the offense. You think it takes some of the burden off the playmaking of both KD and Devin Booker? We shall see. Everybody in double digits last night for the Lakers in the starting lineup, led by Anthony Davis, playing at an MVP level to start this season. It's only been 1 week, I do understand. 29 points and 15 boards. LeBron needed all 11. And all three field goals that he made last night, he was 3 for 14. They should get better on the bench. I would keep an eye on Dalton Knecht, the 17th overall pick out of Tennessee. I'm not going to make my Bronny James joke here. That will play its course. He did not play last night, a coach's decision. So now one of the other undefeated teams that remain in the NBA, it's the reigning NBA champs in the Boston Celtics. Again, close early, then it was not. Jaylen Brown scores 30 points. Peyton Pritchard off the bench, 28, including 8 triples last night. And the C's are perfect, 4-0. 11-point win, 119-108 over Milwaukee. The Celtics cover, Joe, as a 9.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it was close till just about the end of the third quarter. And, boy, they hit it into the fourth quarter, and that was all she wrote there. So, and that's now what? The second loss now for the Bucks, who lost by, correct, I believe, 13 to Brooklyn on Sunday. They played tough, but this is another team where we're worried about depth. Are we not with Milwaukee? I don't have any depth concerns with Boston. I got depth concerns with Milwaukee, though.
Yeah, because last night you got 63 combined between Giannis and Dame, and it was not enough. The Celtics, who have been booked as a favorite in every game, no surprise there, 9.5-point favorite or greater in 3 of the 4, are also 3-1 against the spread. It's why the Celtics remain a very, very, very short favorite in comparison to everybody else to win a second consecutive Larry O'Brien Trophy, NBA championship odds. The C's at 3-1, half the price and then some of everybody else around the association. The Cavs did beat the Knicks in MSG last night to remain perfect, 4-0 as well. Hour number 2 up next on the other side of the break.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.